Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, back from my Mount Rushmore adventure. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex Z, and it is Mother's Day. So we want to wish everyone out there, I know you're running around and eating and doing all this stuff and shopping and having, some of you are hopefully just relaxing. We want to wish everyone out there a happy Mother's Day, whether you have children of your own, you're taking care of someone else's, or you have a lot of friends that just consider you to be their mother. You mentor them. So anyway, congratulations to all of you out there. This is your day, but then again, every day should probably be your day. Alex, what's happening in the boardroom over there?
Just trying to keep myself busy.
Just trying. Well, we had a lot of callers in the first hour on Mother's Day, which surprised me. In fact, this morning I'm thinking, oh boy, maybe we shouldn't even be in on Mother's Day. But we've had a couple winners. Elaine won tickets to the Cabot's Pueblo Museum. Ron won a $25 gift card to Kaiser Restaurants. And in this hour, we have passes for two for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway and a $25 gift card to Johnny Costa's Restaurante, which I'd really like a mom to win.
Yeah, you know what? We're making some mom's day, so yeah. Maybe it was a good idea to come in.
You know, So I'm thinking making what I might do with the restaurant when we give the Johnny Costas away is it's going to have to be a lady who wins that one.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah, it is Mother's Day, so. All right, well, we have a lot to talk about in this hour of the show. In the first hour, though, Tom Snyder from Animal Samaritans joined us and talked about the programs that they have going on over there. They need foster parents for the babies and all the little kittens and puppies out there, so you can go to animalsamaritans.org and see how you can help them out. They also need donations for food and whatnot for all these babies. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Today's show is brought to you in part by Indian Ridge Country Club in Palm Desert. Love where you live. And yesterday on KESQ Channel 3 TV, I wasn't there, but we'll be back next week with my take on Mount Rushmore. And we actually did some filming when we were in Mount Rushmore. So we'll be putting a Traveling with Françoise new television episode together about the Mount Rushmore trip, thanks to ACT Tours. And it went so fast, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's something I want to give you a little heads up on. Catalina Island, a lot of you have been there. Jack and I have spent many a summer there on a sailboat, floating around over there and enjoying Catalina. It has changed so much, Avalon, and it has changed, but it hasn't changed. Because I was just there about a year and a half ago, and Avalon still looks like Avalon. They've just, you know, tweaked a few things. Now they don't let any vehicles in the main street. It's only golf cars and people walking, and there are some more hotels, and there's some newer, like, little malls, but still has that great Catalina charm. Alex, have you been to Catalina Island?
No, I have not.
What the heck? You are a California native, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, you were born in Indio.
Well, I was born right across the border.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was born in Tijuana.
Okay.
But I mean Baja, California.
I'm from
Southern California.
You like had one foot on one side, on the other, one on the other. So
yeah.
Baby. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean why haven't you been to Catalina Island? Why do you think?
It's probably just not one of the places that really attracts me. I mean, maybe a little bit of the distance, like thinking, man, I have to drive all the way over to the coast and then take the boat over. Mm-hmm. And all that. So that's probably where it comes from.
Well, the Catalina Express only takes about 45 minutes, so it goes pretty fast over there. Yeah, it does get you, but you know what? You go a little bit off-season, get a room over there for you and your fiancé right there with the beach across the way, and it really is beautiful. It really is a charming area. But the point of all this is their runway has been closed for the past 5 months, their historic runway that was built in 1941. And they built it when it was built by leveling two mountaintops and filling in the remaining canyon to create a 3,000-foot main runway, which sits at an elevation of about 1,600 feet, and it's about 10 miles from the city of Avalon. Now, pilots have said this runway is very tricky because if you don't just, you know, do it right, you could drive off the end, the other end of it. Yeah, they said it's been a very tricky runway up there, but pilots, you know, they love it. But the mountaintop runway on Santa Catalina Island, a huge tourist destination now off Southern California coastline, has reopened after 5 months of construction. A World War II era DC-3 touched down on the new runway at the airport in the sky to mark the occasion. Last week, it was followed by six CJ-6 Warbirds, which flew in formation over the runway, and two more war-era aircraft that made a high-speed, low-altitude flyby. So pretty exciting. About 100 U.S. Marines and Navy sailors began working on the island in December under an agreement between the military and Catalina Island Conservancy to rebuild the deteriorating runway, and it really was getting bad. And the project was paid for by a $5 million donation to the nonprofit Land Trust. And the military performed the work as part of a training exercise. I mean, what a solution. Think about this. What a great solution for everyone to get this done. I mean, if they would have hired a contractor, that $5 million probably would have been more like $15
million. Yeah.
And taken, they'd still be at it. They wouldn't be even done yet. I'm just really being truthful. But now they did this, and they had the military perform the work as part of a training exercise. With this $5 million donation, they got it done under budget, and it's ready to go. So that just opens up another avenue for you to go visit Catalina Island. Now, I will give you a heads up, though. As soon as June hits, everything changes over there, because you have the boaters that go over there and just moor their boats in the harbor for the entire summer. You have just, I mean, it's just packed with families, and it really is very, very crowded because that is their season. Prices go up. There's a wait for everything, zip line and golf, everything you want to do except hiking. You can probably get away with that. But just remember, it is seasonal at Catalina Island, even though you can go all year long, but it will be a little bit more of a challenge to find any type of deals during the summer. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. So if you can wait till after... It's at Labor Day. I always get the two mixed up. Memorial Day is coming up, I think, and then it's Labor Day towards the end of the year.
I'm the wrong person.
You're shaking your head also. I get the two. I think it's Memorial Day first. I apologize. Don't mean to offend anybody out there, but anyway. But after the kids go back to school, then you can start getting some deals again. So just keep that in mind. But go. If you want to go, just go. Here's something else I found that was kind of interesting. It says here, it's called Roadie. It is a peer-to-peer delivery service that allows people to make extra money, up to $600 on road trips, by delivering packages along the way. Is this interesting? It's called Roadie. And it's like Uber, but it's for sending stuff. So if you're going on a trip from here to, you're driving, you're going on a trip from here to wherever, Michigan, I don't care, Texas, anywhere, and you want to make some extra money, you can get in touch with this company. Again, Roadie, R-O-A-D-I-E. And they will see if they have anybody that needs something delivered to some town that you're going to be driving through. And you can make some extra money.
It's not a bad idea.
It is not a bad idea. I saw this. In fact, I put a note on here. I want to talk to him, have someone call the show and talk to us about what this really is all about. I had a public relations firm send me the info. But... I don't know. I think it is a great idea, a great way to do it. So I don't know. I will find more information. But like I say, if you want to look it up, it's R-O-A-D-I-E if you're going on a trip. I don't know. It says here, what does it say? Up to $600 on a road trip that you can make for carrying a package in your car. Interesting. All right. Well, that's just a little bit of what's going on out there in the world of travel. We also have a bunch of travel news to talk about, some things happening in Vegas. But before we step aside to take a break, and we have those prizes to give away, tram tickets and that Johnny Costa's restaurant take $25 gift card, I heard some interesting tidbits when I'm out and about. I'm always listening for travel stuff that's going on out there. And there was a list out there, the most stressful parts of traveling. And I just took the top two because the others we can kind of, you know, figure all that out on our own. But the top two were very interesting. The number two most stressful part about traveling is packing.
Okay.
Yes.
I get it. Okay.
And when we were going to Mount Rushmore, I tell you, I don't know how these people get all this stuff in these backpacks. They have backpacks out there that now are as large as suitcases. And the airlines are really taking a close look at those. I just want to give you all a heads up now because they're saying that people are calling them backpacks, but frankly, they're as large as a suitcase. And they're going to start cracking down on those. You're not going to be able to get away with it just because it's called a backpack. The number one most stressful part of traveling, according to this survey, is getting through TSA.
That one makes even more sense.
Yes, which this time, normally I am TSA approved. And we had some really strange things with United. I talked to some other people, government workers that are always TSA approved that weren't. I wasn't this time either, but I was ready. I had my laptop in this bag that I always carry. It's made to fit exactly under the seat in front of you. So it's perfect. And I put my laptop. So I was ready and didn't have any problems. But again, a lot of people weren't ready and they had to pull out stuff and I'd slip on shoes. So, you know, think ahead. Think ahead before you travel. Make it really simple on yourself. And I wasn't stressed. I mean, I was there in plenty of time. But there were a lot of people that normally were TSA saying, I haven't had to go through a line in a long time. TSA approved. Same with me. But I just went with the flow. And you know what? It was fine. It was fine. It took a little longer. Normally, I would zip through in about 15 minutes. This took me probably 25 minutes. And it took 25 minutes because people, again, just didn't really know what they were supposed to do. So they had to dig the laptops out of their suitcases. Then they didn't know they had to take their shoes off. And they wore shoes that have, you know, 100 laces in them. I don't know. Anyway, so, all right. So getting through TSA, don't make it stressful on yourself. It's all going to work out. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we have some travel news to talk about. And then later on in the show, I'll tell you about the Mount Rushmore trip thanks to ACT Tours, which today they're having a big Mother's Day event up there at Steve's house. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Now, this segment of the show is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. We had those tickets that we gave away, four of them actually, to Elaine in the first hour of the show. So check it out, cabotsmuseum.org. They are open in. They are open through the summer, yes, hours of admission, October through May. But definitely you have to go up there and check it out. But I also want to give away to a mom out there. I would really like this to be a mom of some sort. You know, because I know there's different ways of being a mom out there. This is a $25 gift card to Johnny Costa's Restaurante. And the phone number is 760-440-8255. So that's 760-440-8255. So if you are a mom out there in some sort of mom-related capacity, give us a call and you will win this gift card. How does that sound? So again, 760-440-8255 for a $25 gift card to Johnny Costa's Restaurante in Palm Springs. All right, travel news. Tourism accelerated Los Angeles County's economic prosperity in 2018 as visitors pumped an all-time high of $23.9 billion directly into the LA economy, generating a record $36.6 billion in the total economic impact. These numbers just came out. Tourism supported 534,000 jobs in LA County's leisure and hospitality sector. This is huge. It's the highest total on record, employing one in every 8.5 workers in the county. Reaffirming the strength of the sector, tourism added 9,700 new jobs last year. Tourism is huge.
It's a driving factor to the U.S. economy. And, you know, California is a huge tourist spot, and that's regardless of what part of California you're in. Even out here in the desert, it's huge.
It, I mean, that's a big part of the desert. I mean, everything, all these big events we have is driven by tourism. It's driven by people coming out here to see them. And we're not talking just travel agents. I mean, they're the, frankly, the least of the tourism positions out there. We're talking about the hospitality industry, the front and the back of these hotels, restaurants, shops, all these things, golf courses, you name it, they all, the big events that we have, all of it somehow connects with tourism, car rental agencies, the vacation rentals. There's just so much out there in job-wise. Because sometimes people think of, when they think of jobs in tourism, they just think of a concierge at a hotel. Well, they also have to think of the restaurants, the staffs in the restaurants, housekeeping, who keeps these places clean for you. And frankly, I like hotels because I like to have that little bit of, you know, it feels nice to be spoiled a little bit, to have someone come in and take care of the room for me. I tip every single night to housekeeping, and I always write them a little thank you note. Now, if it was bad, I would say something to them, but frankly, I've been very, very lucky. It's a hard job that they do, and sometimes, have you ever looked in rooms when you're walking through a hotel and housekeeping is in a room and you just kind of glance in there? And you see that these rooms are basically trash, that housekeeping hasn't even been in there. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a different, you know, scenario, but it goes back to people being very dirty. When I worked at McDonald's, you know, I get it. We're there to clean.
Yeah.
I get it. But when there's like ketchup everywhere and like food all over the table.
Yeah. And the floor. Over the floor.
Yeah, that's not what we're there for. We're there to just, you know, clean up a little bit, so on and so forth.
Right. Wipe the table down, but not have to do bleach.
Yeah, some people, they don't have any self-respect.
I guess so. So remember, folks, I'm not saying that any of you out there are like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if you know someone that is, you might want to give them a little heads up and say, you know, might want to clean up your mess. Anyway, so hospitality industry is huge out there. Tourism is huge, and there's so many jobs and more jobs. Even opening, of course, airlines, that's part of tourism also, and travel, trains, cruise ships. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So, but speaking about tourism, how about having too many visitors? Can you say, what do you say? What if, would we ever say we have too many visitors to the Coachella Valley?
Some people already say
that we do. Some people are saying that we do. All right. The Netherlands ditches tourism promotions in the latest response to the growing global problem of over-tourism. The Netherlands will stop promoting inbound travel, turning its focus to managing a record influx of visitors. That is, I mean, can you believe that? That's crazy that a country now that they're saying, we don't want any more tourists. That's it. We're not going to promote you coming. If you don't know about us, well, oh well, we're not going to worry about it. Very, very interesting. This really is a total twist on what travel agencies and the tourism boards have been doing over the years, which is trying to get people to come to their place, come to their country, or come to their state, or come to wherever they are, and now they're saying, you know, it's okay. We're good.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, sometimes there's places that get oversaturated with tourists, and there are some islands, obviously, that have also been, you know, closed off.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people going, enjoying the place a little bit too much. So I think, I would imagine, because the Netherlands is definitely one of the big hot spots in the world to go visit, obviously for many reasons. You know, the architecture, extracurricular
everything.
Activities, yeah, all that stuff. And I can imagine why they would want to have that slow down a little bit.
Well, the same thing happened with the area of Game of Thrones. I think it's Croatia. Mm-hmm. Is it Croatia? Dubrovnik. They actually had to, they say they were overrun with people just wanting to see where Game of Thrones was filmed. And they couldn't handle it all. They were just a small little country, and it was just too much. But anyway, very interesting. All right, growth in air passenger travel slows to a 9-year low. Traffic goes up just 3.1% year over year in March. And the timing of Easter was a factor, but so were global economic factors as well. Here's something that just opened up in Vegas. I get this report once a month on Vegas. Really interesting, all the stuff going on in Vegas. This one is called Tattooed America. Opens at Pop Vegas. The attraction at the Ling Promenade includes a tattoo-themed ball pit for grown-ups. More than 500 artworks from 100 different tattoo artists, an on-site tattoo parlor, and temporary tattoo station. I would like to go see that.
Sounds like fun.
I think it would be really interesting. Can you imagine? Of course, tattoo artists are incredible. I mean,
they are.
I mean, that is a talent all in its own. Good ones. Of course, some of them you see with words spelled wrong. But I'm going to go see this. So it is at the Ling Promenade. So it is called Tattooed America, in case you're in Vegas. All right. And starting May 16th, the National Park Service will ban commercial guided tours at the Statue of Liberty's pedestal, the Statue of Liberty Museum, and the National Museum of Immigration at Ellis Island. The NPS said it will implement the ban because a proliferation of guided tours in recent years has created gridlock at the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. National Park Service also said their partner Statue Cruises said roughly 250,000 passengers took commercial tours in 2018, a six-fold increase from a decade ago. So the whole idea is go on your own. Do you want to see the Statue of Liberty? Yeah. This will be interesting to see how tour operators and stuff handle this, because, of course, that's big bucks for them.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest attractions when you go to New York.
Yep. So that's going to be it, though. They say starting May 16th. I wonder what they're going to do with the people that bought tickets already, because a lot of people buy tickets online before they even go. They're going to have to refund them because they say they're just going to stop. So that is interesting. Keep that in mind next time you are going to go see the Statue of Liberty. All right, I'm going to save that for the next ACT Tours Travel Club of the Desert meeting. All right, here's a new option for pet lovers. VistaJet, a private membership airline, recently launched VistaPet, which the airline calls the most comprehensive animal travel service in the industry. They have valet service. They've seen their business has increased 104% in the number of animals on its planes now over the last 2 years, so there definitely is a market for this. Again, VistaJet can arrange fear of flying courses for dogs prior to the trip, and to ease arrival, it has partnered with pet-friendly facilities and destinations around the world. So for all of you that travel with your pets, which can be very, very stressful for pets, if you don't think it is, it can be. Now you might want to talk to VistaJet and see how they can get your pet from point A to point B. All right. Let's see, what else do we have? Air Italy has launched a nonstop flight between Los Angeles LAX and Milan's Malpensa International Airport, so that is something new. And the U.S. Travel Association's latest Travel Trends Index predicts a slowdown in the growth of both international and domestic travel due to circumstances such as trade tensions, erratic financial markets, and dwindling of business and consumer confidence. Well, there you go. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about my Mount Rushmore adventure, thanks to ACT Tours. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise, and Françoise Rhodes, your host. Alex Z is in the boardroom. We're here to talk about now my trip to Mount Rushmore, but during all this, I also have two passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. If you'd like to win those, just give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. And happy Mother's Day to all those out there. So, last weekend, I was in Mount Rushmore. I was escorting an ACT tour group of 42 people. And it was really quite the nonstop adventure. We actually had two things going and coming back. It was kind of interesting. Going and coming back, we were delayed in Denver to Rapid City. We were split up in two different groups because we couldn't get everybody on the same flight, because we didn't have a crew to fly our jet from Denver to Rapid City.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which was kind of funny because all of us in the first flight were thinking, oh, we're going to get there a couple hours early and I can get everybody settled and get back to the hotel. Well, we ended up landing at the airport, and at the terminal in Denver, we were so far apart that I couldn't go back and forth between the two groups because they kept saying they might just automatically, I mean, if the pilots show up, they might just load us up because our jet was sitting there and let us go. But so I didn't go between two groups, but by the time we landed in Rapid City, the other group was actually only 20 minutes behind us, and we ended up all pretty much converging on the hotel at the same time, which is really funny. Coming back, the same thing happened, though, to us twice. In Rapid City, there was delay because of fog, and I'll tell you about the weather in a second. But we were pretty close to take off at the time we were supposed to. In Denver, same thing happened in Denver. We didn't have a crew to fly us back to Palm Springs. So we were delayed probably an hour or so, extra hour in Denver for lack of crew. So everybody was teasing me saying, what is it, Françoise? You go with us and we don't have any flight crews. So, but when we were in South Dakota, we had sleet, snow, rain, fog, and one of the coldest. We were in Rapid City, which was the coldest place in the country on that day.
Wow.
38 degrees. However, with all that said, we ended up having a great trip. I mean, Mount Rushmore was our first stop. The first day we went through the Black Hills, we went through Custard State Park, we went to Mount Rushmore, and I have to say that Mount Rushmore, we were really lucky because of this cool weather. Normally there are buses and buses and buses of people at Mount Rushmore. We were the only bus there. So that means we could just pretty much do whatever we want. When we all went and had lunch there, it was very casual. There was no waiting in these long lines, no worry waiting to go on to the next venue, which was Crazy Horse Monument Memorial. But Mount Rushmore really was everything I was hoping it would be. I was so happy that there was no fog that day, because the next day we had fog. I'll tell you about that. But we had no fog that day. The sun came out. It cleared up. It warmed up, even though there was snow on the ground from the recent snowfall. But here are some facts about Mount Rushmore that you might not know, that I didn't know, that I found out. Because we did film this for a television episode on Traveling with Francoise, Artifacts and Arts Across America, which cameraman Steve is working on putting it all together right now. Mount Rushmore gets about 3 million visitors a year. Luckily, the day we went, there was probably about 100, and that was it. So, but it took a crew of 400 men 14 years to blast and sculpt the 60-foot-high granite likenesses of the four former presidents, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. 90% of the mountain was carved with dynamite, about 450,000 tons, over 8 million pounds of stone, was removed of the side of the mountain during construction. And interestingly enough, a lot of the people were saying, why did they leave all these rocks on the side of the hill? I mean, you can see all down below, there's all these rocks everywhere. And I think part of it is just to shore up the mountainside with the crazy weather and stuff, because it is up there at an elevation. It is up there a little bit, not too high, but it still is up there a little bit in elevation. But each president's face is 60 feet high. The faces appear in that order: Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. But this is what really got me, because you're sitting there looking at these formations, and they are so perfect out of this granite. Just that alone blows you away. And if you look closely, you can see that not all of them. It is Lincoln is partially, one side of his head is not completely complete, and it never will be, because they're done working on it now. But you really have to sit and stare at it. But it says Mount Rushmore is granite, which erodes roughly 1 inch every 10,000 years. So this means after about 500,000 years, the faces will have likely lost some of their definition. But at the rate, the basic shape of the president's heads might last up to 7 million years.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I mean, we're sitting there looking at this, thinking about all this, trying to comprehend it, and it really blows your mind. Now, it's only $11 to park in there. It's a parking fee, and they have the you can rent the little, you know, headphone sets that will give you a guided tour. They also have the amphitheater, but you walk through this Avenue of the Flags. Now, a lot of people had said, oh, we're really upset about the Avenue of the Flags. I thought the Avenue of the Flags was beautiful. It didn't bother me at all, because you can still see Mount Rushmore. I guess people that went and just walked up to the base of the mountain originally, before all that was there, before the visitor center and the restaurant and all that, maybe definitely had a probably different feel to it.
Mm.
However, for me, when I see flags like that, I don't know. I just really, I love it. I love all the flags of the states and stuff. I don't know. It just, I thought it was beautiful. It didn't bother me at all. So Mount Rushmore definitely is something that you really need to go and see if you get a chance. It's just, you sit there and stare at it and wonder what these people went through to build this. I mean, really, really incredible. So from there, we went over to the Crazy Horse Memorial. That's another gigantic statue that is being built as we speak. It's in the third generation now working on Crazy Horse Memorial. And it was, let's see, Crazy Horse is the most powerful, became one of the most powerful and most recognized Native American figures of the Lakota Indian tribe, second only to Sitting Bull. However, there was never a picture of Crazy Horse. There was never a picture anywhere. So they went off of this statue that they're building, this memorial, of just descriptions from people that had seen Crazy Horse. It's interesting that they want to cement in history this Native American war leader, because they do have a lot of tribes in the area. So the Native American spirit is still there. They want to keep this historic. But this monument has been in progress since 1948. And really, the only thing that's complete is the very front of the face. Nothing else. And when it's all done, it is going to have a horse, his arm, and all these things. It will become, it's designed to become the world's second tallest statue after the Statue of Unity. And Crazy Horse is the world's largest mountain carving, which is located in the Black Hills. It is larger than Mount Rushmore, And it is considered the eighth wonder of the world in progress. So it is the third generation is working on this. Now they have built this gigantic visitor center. The cabin is there from the original architect. His family now leads all this. It's really, that again is another blow your mind thing that you see. You're looking at this thing, wow. I don't know. It was very, very impressive. They don't let anybody get as close as they do Mount Rushmore, only because they're working on it and they're afraid of rocks and whatnot, because they use dynamite to blast out. That's how they sculpt a lot of these, is with dynamite. So they have to blow out big pieces, and the sculptors go in and work on it. So if you are in South Dakota, you have to go see Crazy Horse. It really is something as well. Also, while we were there, we went through Custer State Park Wildlife Loop. Now, where are my notes for this? I have notes. We're on the Iron Mountain Road, which is 14 miles. But in this 14 miles, we had 376 turns, 22 switchbacks. Two divided roads, three tunnels, three pigtail things that it's just like, it was really quite a trip for 14 miles. It seemed to take quite a long time. But when you go through these tunnels, they have these tunnels cut out of these rocks, out of these mountainsides, that when you drive through them, you are facing Mount Rushmore. So you are looking at this rock tunnel that the bus barely fit in. In fact, big RVs and stuff won't even fit in them. So if people take these big RVs on, they're in for a big surprise when they get to the tunnel, because they will not fit in these. But you drive through this tunnel and you see Mount Rushmore. It's outlined by this tunnel. It's like it's in a picture frame. Really, I mean, very clever whoever did this. So that road was quite interesting. Now, we were supposed to go on the Spearfish Scenic Routeway the next day, but we couldn't because of the fog. We got fogged, and we went to Sturgis. It was snowing in Sturgis. Everybody got out to take pictures in front of the Harley-Davidson place in Sturgis. And frankly, Sturgis is just this little town. It's really not a whole lot. But of course, the motorcycle world has made this event so large that they even now have the bus driver Bruce was telling us that, and we'll go to break and we'll come back and we'll talk about some more, but the bus driver was telling us that there are some businesses in Sturgis that only open during the motorcycle rally for a couple weeks and are closed the rest of the year. That's how much business they have during that event. That is crazy. I know, it's crazy. But it was snowing, and so we couldn't take the Spearfish route, scenic route, because it's a very narrow route. They were afraid of fog, sleet, snow. So we missed that one. But then we went on to Deadwood. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about Deadwood and stuff. Really a great trip. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. I'm talking about my recent trip to Mount Rushmore and South Dakota, actually, in some different areas that we stopped in. Now, we went to this little town, which is outside of Deadwood, called Lead. This was settled in 1876. It was founded at the site of gold discoveries that eventually became the Homestake Mine. Now, gold really brought everybody into this area up there of the Black Hills. And this Homestake Mine is the single greatest producing gold mine in America. There's this gigantic hole that, of course, they have a visitor center that you can walk out onto this platform and look down into this hole. The mine closed in 2001. The population in Lead is about 3,500. But we were looking in the visitor center there at Lead, and it's free to go in there. If a lot of these places really don't cost much for you to go see, that the name George Hurst kept popping up. And also there was a gal there married to one of the gold miners who started one of the big companies, and her last name was Hurst, and so we were looking into it, and actually that's all part of the Randolph Hurst family, the Hurst Castle.
Yep, up on Big Sur.
Yes, exactly, which we kept were looking at that name saying, do you think that has anything to do with Hurst Castle? And sure enough, it all did. But again, the mine is now closed today. Now, Lead is just a few minutes from Deadwood. Deadwood is another town that actually, of course, the miner moved into the northern Black Hills. For them, it was 1876, and they came across a gulch full of dead trees and a creek full of gold, and that became Deadwood. And, of course, there was mining going on through all these hills up there. So, I mean, and you see actually the mining dust still on a lot of the mountain, the hillsides and stuff. It's this black film that's covered everything from the mining. But one of the famous, and Deadwood is really this historic old town. Now, you see the HBO special Deadwood is actually based on the history of this Deadwood. The streets are in brick line. The streets are covered in brick, and you still, Main Street still has a lot of the old buildings where there used to be all the brothels and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it takes you back in time. Of course, one of the famous visitors was Wild Bill Hickok, who came looking for a fortune like everybody else. But only a few short weeks after he arrived, he was gunned down while playing a poker game. And he had the hand as aces and eights, forever known as Dead Man's Hand. Now, they have signs up showing you the saloon that he was in when he got shot. They also have a sign up showing you where the fellow that shot him, they caught him. He actually ran out of there and ran down the street to another saloon. And they caught him in the other saloon. But there was a story that Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok were romantically involved. And our bus driver, Bruce, was telling us that they weren't. Calamity Jane, they were very, very good friends. He said Calamity Jane came up with a story to bring attention to herself after Wild Bill was shot. So she became famous as being one of Wild Bill Hickok's girlfriend, his lover, which they really never were. And it was also fascinating. Their graves are up there, up in the mountain there, a few miles away from town. You can go up and visit them. They had to move Wild Bill Hickok's grave because it was a tradition to put shots of whiskey on his gravesite. That was a tradition through all the mining years. And they say there were so many shots of whiskey and stuff after a while, it became a hazard, and they actually moved his site. But you can still go up there and visit it. But under the city of Deadwood, there are all these tunnels still there for the Chinese laundry workers that would go from hotel to hotel. And of course, they didn't want to see these workers up on the street, so they built tunnels all under Deadwood for them to go. I mean, it just, you know, one fascinating story after another. The bus driver said he named off a bunch of restaurants to go to. So we were just walking along, and I was going in a shop. They have, a lot of little shops, a lot of wine tasting distilleries, lots of casinos down the main street of Deadwood. In fact, the casinos is what saved Deadwood. After they closed the brothel, the town basically shut down. They had no more visitors. You know, the mining was over with, the brothels were gone, and so they actually... someone said, well, let's bring some casinos in, and it actually now has revived the whole community because it gets so many tourists there. But one of the locals said, you want to go to Saloon Number 10, the original Saloon Number 10. And if you go upstairs, there's a restaurant called the Deadwood Social Club. And so me, along with some of our ACT travelers, we went over there and climbed these old rickety stairs up. You could tell the building is original. And we get to the top, and there's this Deadwood Social Club, and it's a restaurant. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I had a piece of, I've never had one before, peach mango cheesecake.
Ooh.
It was so good. If you know how to make that out there, I'm coming over. It was so good. But I also had a lot of buffalo was served all through South Dakota. Buffalo is big on the menu just about everywhere. We went to a steakhouse, buffalo, very tender, has a little bit more of a stronger taste than beef, but... And you don't call them bison. When you are in South Dakota, they're not called bison. They are called buffalo. And you will be a tourist, definitely tagged as a tourist if you don't know. So all these little things, all these stories in Deadwood, which really, really a lot of fun to... I mean, if you just for a moment, and again, the day we went, it was kind of rainy, it was cold, so there weren't a ton of tourists, and the streets weren't packed. So you could actually just walk down the street and get a feel for how it must have been. I mean, really, not a lot of cars, really was something. I could do a television episode on Deadwood by itself. There was so much there to history and to see. And like I said, it was cold, but there's the museum. There's all these things and just these incredible stories. I hope that one day I can go back there and do just a story on Deadwood. But don't miss it. If somebody says, there's not a lot in Deadwood, well, if you're not going to open your eyes and look around and take in the history and go to the museum and maybe go to the graveside, go to the saloons. The saloons takes you back in time. I mean, we're talking the way the bars are set up and stuff, really just I don't know, put on your boots and hat and you'll feel right at home. It really, really something. So I enjoyed everything we saw. We ended the trip finally. When we came back, the bus driver was really, really nice. There weren't shuttles to take people to downtown Rapid City. People were using Lyft or a taxi from where we were. We were at a Fairfield Inn, kind of on the outskirts, which, by the way, this Fairfield Inn had a water park right in the middle between five different hotels. A water park, all enclosed. It was full of people. It's crazy. Anyway, so the bus driver said, you know what? I'm going to go through town to take the bus back. I go right through Rapid City. Whoever wants to go, I'll just take you. Just stay on the bus when we get back to the hotel after our day at Deadwood and whatnot. So about half of us stayed on the bus, and we went into town. And Rapid City, what a cute town that is. That is known as the City of Presidents because they have these life-size statues of all the presidents except for Obama and Trump. They don't have those created yet. In a six-square block area of downtown. And there's so these historic buildings. The Alex Johnson Hotel was there. Actually, Rapid City is divided. There's a mountain range that kind of runs through it. There's a whole story about that. But we just stayed downtown. There's an alley. I'm walking, and I look down this alley, and I see all this graffiti and all this stuff. And it looked like an alley. You'd think, well, I don't want to go in that alley at night. Then I saw a sign. So I looked at the sign. It's called Art Alley. And artists get permits to go in there, and they have painted all down this alley. I said, we should have one of those here.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, every city should have one because the artwork in there blow your mind. I took a picture of it. I took a ton of pictures. So we discovered that and just so many different things. And there was a store. If you ever go to Rapid City, ladies, you have to go to Prairie Edge. This is not just any store. This is a store that you could spend hours in. And I'm talking hours. They have a room full of beads. I've never seen the beads displayed this way. They're all in glass containers by color. And they're in these cases that are locked. And there is a whole room dedicated to beads. I've never seen anything like it. And then in one part of the store, they had works that were beaded Native American headdress for the horses and boots and hats and just incredibly handcrafted beaded items that... It really, I stumbled, all the ladies kept saying, we're going to Prairie Edge, and I thought, well, I need to do some filming and whatnot. So Steve and I saw it, and I said, let's just go look inside. I'm so glad I did. Definitely mark that on your list. So all in all, our South Dakota trip had its glitches with flights and weather and whatnot, but on the flip side, the sun was shining at Mount Rushmore, so we weren't fogged in that day. There were fog in other parts. We missed a little bit, but it was a great trip. I would go back to South Dakota. I would definitely, like I say, go back to Deadwood and spend more time there. It really stirred us. Like I say, you're into the motorcycle. I could see where it'd just be a ton of fun craziness for those couple of weeks. And you know, Sturgis was just sort of fun to see, and I'm glad we drove through it and got out in the snow and took pictures of everybody. But a lot of fun. So I want to thank ACT Tours for letting me be the escort, and Steve, cameraman Steve, for going along to film all this. I'll let you know when the episode's ready. Next week on the show, what are we doing? We are going to have Larry Burns on to talk about his book about the Inland Empire. So we're also going to have someone on to talk about batteries as well. Have a great one. Happy Mother's Day. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.